we get going in life and we walk and work and play and our lives become routines in which we're really unable to see ourselves. So Lord, search us. Help us to see ourselves. This message this morning, practicing our righteousness. Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be seen by them. It's a matter of the heart. Jesus says again, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's really a matter of the heart. Then in James chapter 2, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? So also faith apart from works is dead. It's really a matter of the heart. Now, some people might say the things we've just read, we've just heard, are contradictory. On one hand, Jesus says, don't do your righteousness before men to be seen by them. On the other hand, Jesus says, you're to be salt and light so that the people can see who I am, can see your good works, and glorify me. It's no contradiction. Not at all. Jesus is speaking about our hearts. It's a matter of the heart. So there are several things this morning as we think about this that I think are important for us to consider. Number one, we need to understand how we are saved. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's not a result of your works, so that no one may boast. Our salvation is the result of what God has done through Jesus Christ on the cross. It's a result of what God did in sending his Son into this world to be that propitiation, huge theological word. I shouldn't even use it, should I? But to do what was necessary to cover our sins. Our salvation, then, is a result of what God has done in sending his Son and our response to that. It takes both. It's what God has done, and then it's our response of faith, believing that this act of God is true and it is for our salvation, so that we have no room for boasting. Our salvation is completely and totally the result of what God has done through Jesus Christ. Of course, then, it's our accepting God's grace and responding to it. So there's no place for pride, no place for boasting in relationship to us gaining our salvation by doing good deeds or doing works of righteousness. That's not how we come to our salvation. Our salvation is ours because of what Jesus has done on the cross, and then our response of receiving and accepting that. The second thing, then, as we think about practicing our righteousness is this. We constantly are in need of fighting the sin of pride. The pandemic and the arena of sports has been one in which I have observed this again. Early on in the pandemic, we were coming toward the end of the NBA season, and LeBron James made the statement, we're not going to play if there aren't any fans. Guess what motivates those professional athletes? It's the pride of seeing all these people in this arena watching me slam dunk the ball or make a great pass or whatever. And without the fans, my pride isn't assuaged. I can't feel that pride that I want to feel. On television this week, there was an interview done with a person who was involved in a sports activity, and this individual made this statement: I love to have the fans cheering my success. It's so tough to deal with the pride that is a part of our lives. And other people observing what I do is an important part of me feeling good about who I am. That's pride. Golf is another sports arena, and it's one in which over the last months the fans weren't allowed to follow the guys around the course. And if you're a golf fan this week, you've been observing the tournament that is happening, and there's a guy by the name of Phil Mickelson who is leading the tournament, and Phil's an old guy. And so there are thousands of people who are following Phil Mickelson around the course, watching every shot that he makes, cheering him on, wanting this old guy to win this tournament. And Phil typically has been a person who loves the crowds and responds to the crowds. And this time he's not doing that so much because he's trying to focus and concentrate to win. But the reality is that we all are impacted by pride. So I brought my phone with me this morning into church, I'm sorry, it's been dinging. I didn't push the right button. There have been stuff coming in from our kids during church. Do you believe it? It's terrible. But guess what? On my phone, we just got new phones here recently, and my brother-in-law has taken care of that. He set them up for us. So on my phone, the front page of my phone is a very nice buck deer that I took this year. Thanks to Lyle. Appreciate it, Lyle. You know, I got to be careful not to become prideful. On my phone, I have pictures of fish that I've caught. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Yeah, we all deal with pride, don't we? It's something that we all deal with in one way or another. Pride impacts our lives, and Satan uses that to keep us from doing what we need to do and practicing our righteousness the way God wants us to practice it. So we need to deal with this pride that's in our lives, and we pray that God will help us with that. The second thing here that we need to deal with is fighting the sin of spiritual pride. Okay. Did you hear me? Fighting the sin of spiritual pride. Is there such a thing? Absolutely there is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul writes this. He says, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us. Okay, now here are the important phrases from Paul. That you may hear from us, learn from us, not to go beyond what is written. That's going to become important here in a bit. That none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. Whoa. Paul's talking to me, the preacher. Well, he's talking to all of us. But he's saying there's spiritual pride that causes people to say, oh, my pastor's better than yours because my pastor does this. So I'm going to, you know, stick with my pastor. I'm going to do everything I can for my pastor because he's the best. And the pastor says, oh, thank God, I'm good. Spiritual pride. Paul says, I want you to learn this, to not go beyond what is written. And I'm going to come back to that in a bit. That none of you become puffed up in favor of one against another. That's spiritual pride. It's a reality. It was a reality in Paul's day. It's a reality today. Jesus says that we need to beware of wanting to be seen by men. Paul says, don't be puffed up. Don't be proud in favor of one against another. Spiritual pride is a biggie in the Christian family and Christian community. How many hits have we had on our website in the last week? How many people have watched our live stream? Are watching now? How many of you are there out there? How many people are in church this morning? In my church? Number one, it's not my church, it's God's church. But you see what happens? You see what goes on? Pastors, beware. Church members, beware of spiritual pride that can come into our lives and keep us from practicing what God wants us to practice of righteousness and it becoming prideful in us, which is sin. You will notice that on all of those things, our website, our live stream, they're personal pronouns, right? They're personal pronouns. God wants us to think differently than that. Okay, next. How do we fight this sin of spiritual pride? How do we fight this sin of spiritual pride? Jesus says, when giving to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give in secret. Jesus says, don't stand up in public places and pray loud and long prayers. Now, I wish my great-grandfather, M.G. Engel, were here, and I could talk to him about this one, because he was known to go into bars and places of eating, and he would pray loud prayers. That was one of the stories that I heard about my great-grandpa, and I can believe it. He was a strong man and had a strong faith. But we could talk about that one. Jesus says, when you fast, don't make it look like you're fasting. Don't make it look like you're fasting so that others think highly of you because you're fasting. So Jesus says, we need to be careful how we do our acts of righteousness so that we aren't doing them to be seen by men. One of the things with this pandemic that has happened is that we stopped passing the offering plate. Okay? We stopped passing it because, we passed germs with the pandemic. So we've put the offering plate at the back of the church, and there are envelopes for people to put their offering in and put it in the offering plate or just put your offering in the plate. I kind of like that. We aren't to know what each other gives. We don't give so that someone can see what we're giving. If we're doing that so that people can see, that's spiritual pride. So what we're doing with the offering is different than we've done in the past. I think it's kind of a good thing. Now, the one thing it doesn't do, it doesn't highlight the fact that we need to be giving every Sunday. It doesn't do that. And I maybe need to talk about that more, because our giving and our tithing is something that's important. It's a part of our worship. It's part of what we do to honor our God. It's part of what we do to be the church. But I think it's good in what it is. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Notice, the kingdom of who? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. In contrast to the kingdom of this world. And we've talked about this, and I'm going to continue to talk about it because I think it's something we need to get our minds around and understand. This idea that we're living in this world, we're living in the kingdom of this world. And as Christ followers, as Christians, we need to learn how to do that and still honor our God. But the kingdom of this world is all about me. It's about Phil Mickelson winning this golf tournament. And if he does, he's the oldest person. If it happens, he's going to be the oldest person ever to win this tournament. and it's going to be a big deal for him and for everybody. But it's all about me. That's the kingdom of this world. We're part of the kingdom of God as Christ followers. It's God's kingdom, and it's God we want to honor. It's God we want to talk about. As Margaret and I process many things, we often talk about being a part of the kingdom of this world and a part of the kingdom of God, and how we honor God and how we honor the things of this world and what we choose to honor and how we respond to those things. So we love our country. We love America. We're so appreciative and thankful for America and our freedoms and our privileges here. But there are some things that we have chosen in terms of our responses to this kingdom, America, that we live in, that may be different than others. We try to think about what God wants for us there in terms of that. Paul says, and here it is, okay? What Paul wrote, and I said we need to come back to it. Paul says, don't go beyond what is written. It's an important, very important phrase, very important statement that Paul is making. And here's why. This week, Facebook, there was a thing that came out saying, you need to listen to this or read this because it has new information about the end times. Folks, you may not like it, but this is what I have to say about that. That's worthless, wasted time. And God's going to tell you why. Matthew chapter 24. And this is Jesus. Okay, this isn't Dale. This isn't one of the apostles. This isn't one of the other writers of Scripture. This is Jesus. Matthew chapter 24, 36 to 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time or of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not left his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Jesus is speaking here. Paul said, don't go beyond what is written. We preachers can get ourselves into trouble and go places we shouldn't go when we go beyond what is written in God's Word. Jesus talks about signs of the times. The Scripture talks about signs of the times. But folks, nobody knows. Jesus said, I don't even know. Only the Father knows that. What's our responsibility? To be ready. To be always ready. Always ready. Always prepared. Because in a moment, it's going to happen. Jesus is going to come back for us. I know we like to read those books. Let's see, who's the one, Margaret, who wrote all the... And I caught her offhand, I'm sorry. What's that? Hal Lindsey. Yes, Hal Lindsey wrote all these books about the end of the age and the second coming. And we like to read them because that's what we're looking forward to. I just want to encourage us to think about what we're reading and what we're taking in. Is it God's word or is it someone's idea or thought about this? Recently, these folks who are involved in prophecy, you know, we've seen it that there was a man who has been involved in prophecy all his life, and he prophesied something in relationship to the election, and it didn't happen the way he had prophesied. And he apologized for that, saying that, I guess I didn't know. And other people who are involved in prophecy persecuted him. They were hitting on him something awful because of this, because he admitted that he didn't know. Folks, God's word says, don't go beyond what's written. Spiritual pride is a deadly sin. Jesus spoke against the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Why? Because of their pride. They thought they knew. They thought they had all the answers, and they did not. Folks, pray for me. The preacher, the one who goes to God's word and presents it to you. I want to make sure I'm not going beyond what is written. I want to make sure what I'm saying is God's truth, not my ideas of what God's truth is. Well, I've been kind of hard on you. I was going to say I'm sorry, but I guess I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I think that's what God wants me to say. He wants me to say the truth. So, when and how do we practice righteousness? When and how do we practice this righteousness? Always. Again, going to God's word here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. It's a passage that's so familiar to us. Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When? Always. Always. Always practice your righteousness. Or we should say, always practice God's righteousness. Always be doing that, because we're to be salt and we're to be light. The world, oftentimes, the only message they see about Jesus Christ is you. You're the only one that they see. You're the only one that gives them any idea of what it means to know Jesus and to enjoy the privileges of living as a child of God. Always do righteousness. And then how? With a pure heart. So that people give glory to God rather than to me. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of humility and absolutely no pride. No pride in my knowing I'm right and you're wrong. Dale, brethren in Christ, Dale, with your theology, Margaret's dad, Walter Mengus, Presbyterian, trained up in the highest level of education possible at Princeton. See, God works in both of us to bring truth, understanding. Father-in-law, dad, I haven't understood things the way that you have. But, dad, I know you love Jesus. I've seen it in your life and how you live, how you treat others. I don't understand why you're where you are, and I'm here. We see things a little differently. No pride. Just thankfulness for God's work in us. We're different people. Folks, we're all different. God works in all of us in different ways, in miraculous ways, to help us come to understand and know Him. No pride in my being righteous. No pride in my fasting. No pride in my praying. No pride in what I may say in public to someone that relates to my faith in my Lord. I'm only a servant seeking to follow my God. Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's hard sometimes to be there. It's hard sometimes to be there when we hear all of these voices which speak with such sense of authority. I want to encourage us all to remember what Paul says. Don't go beyond what is written. It's why we need to study God's Word. It's why these messages from Jesus' teaching are so important to us. That's the closest, highest thing that we can understand in terms of knowing God and knowing what He wants for us. So beware, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be seen by them. Those who do it for that purpose of being seen, they've already gotten their reward, and they don't need anything from God. So when we do it with a heart that is a heart that says, I'm simply and only wanting to serve my God. Thanks for acknowledging what I've done. Appreciate your seeing and your acknowledging that, but may God get the glory. That's what I want to say about my being here. It's what I want to say about my preaching. And if at times I say, you know, thank you, but I don't make a big deal about you liking my sermon, it's because I don't want glory. I want God's glory to reign. And I know that it's God who gives me what I have to share with you. We're going to close today with a song. It's number 347, Open the Wells of Salvation. None of me or none for me, all for God. Let's stand as we sing together.